Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Not saying it's time to panic, but you may want to possibly consider locating a case of your favorite adult beverages. I have scored the same number of runs as the Cubs over the last two games, and they have struggled against teams that should end up finishing at the bottom of the standings. So when does Joe Maddon start tinkering with his lineup and play Coach Q? As for the pitching, whose start concerns you the most after the first turn through the five-man rotation? Midnight finally struck for Cinderella. Loyola blows a second-half double-digit lead. Michigan cruises into tonight's title game. So when will Loyola get back to a Final Four? And was Saturday Porter Moser's final game in charge of the Ramblers? And with five games to go, the Bulls are pulling out all the stops to complete the tank. Dunn and Levine shut down for the rest of the season. But did Sunday's win over the Wizards ruin their chances to pick near the top of the draft? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good start to your week. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show, he is veteran sports maven. He is Ben Finfer. He is David Hall, lead columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Catch him on The Score. And Nick Friedel, NBA guru at ESPN and ESPN 1000. All right. So far, say it. Cubs stink. Don't look good offensively. Starting pitching has been anything less than decent. I mean, maybe just a little less.
Yeah, well, it's not a great start. I think it's crazy that there are people going nuts on Twitter, although it's Twitter, so maybe I shouldn't be so surprised. But it's been a bad start. The bats the last couple of days have been silent. Of course, in the 17-inning game, they weren't so hot either. The starting pitching first time through is not what you would expect out of this staff. And I would be very surprised if they look the same over the next five games. I think they're going to be a lot better real quick.
They've not only been bad, I mean, they've been historically bad. 58 strikeouts in
most
five games.
Most ever by an NL team.
That's a record.
Five games.
Yeah, now 17-inning game had something to do with that, but I think two things can be true. One, they're off to an awful start, and you can be as disappointed as you want to be and react however you want to the first five games. But the other thing that I think is true is that they will snap out of this. This is a better team, and I don't think that it's appropriate to say they're going to have a bad season because they're starting this way. A year ago, they started very slow. Where did they end the season? In the NLCS.
And 92 wins.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, everything maintained a little bit of perspective, but yeah, you can be as disappointed as you want, because when you see Anthony Rizzo strike out with the bases loaded in Cincinnati, where he has 16 home runs, you think, oh my gosh, this team is snake bit. So I think tomorrow, shake up the lineup. Why not? What do you have to lose?
I'm really not worried at all. Not at all. I think talent wins out. We've seen it the last few years with this team. They got an abundance of talent. I know the pitching staff hasn't looked as great as everybody wanted it to, but it's five games.
Right.
There's 162 games in a baseball season.
Well, there's that, Benny.
Yeah, how about that?
All right, let me ask you a question. More nervous now or game seven of the World Series?
you want me to get
video proof of you.
But you want me to get worried after losing to the Marlins and the Reds in game four and five? Who cares? Like, this team is going to find their way. They always do. And if they don't, I trust that Theo and Jed will figure out who they need to bring in to replace them. But I am not concerned at all that they'll find their
group. I don't know that you're going to bring anybody in to replace these guys. I mean, these are who you're going to win or lose
with. I mean, down
with
the line, though.
But I think this team is here. That's young. Is to get who are you going to move
fine.
Out?
It's fine. I think, David, you mentioned the shake up the lineup a little bit. I heard DeJesus during the post game suggest getting Zobrist in there a little bit more. His at-bats have looked great. His one at-bat today, he took a big walk. So I think somehow or another, get him in the lineup. I mean, that's not that crazy. He probably is going to be in there a little bit more coming up soon anyway. But maybe put him in right field, Hayward to center.
Because Hap has not looked good.
Hap hasn't looked good. Baez, he had the triple today, but his at-bats haven't looked real great. There is a way to get Zobrist in there a little bit more, at least.
Yeah, Javi could take a seat for a little bit. I mean, I think that you could see that for a day or two.
But Javi had a triple today.
Yeah,
he got two hits.
They misplayed that a little bit.
Then he had the three-pitch strikeout later in the game, which that's what Javi Baez does. But
the talent is there. Nick's right. But I think that sometimes you can maneuver your talent to get the most out of it. And I think just by changing things, creatures of habit, at this point, they haven't scored a run since Saturday. So what do you have to lose? You're not giving up on anybody, but you're just kind of changing the mix.
You're just trying to get yourself out of a rut.
Yeah.
And that's what they're in right now to start. They're going to catch their rhythm. They always have.
Rizzo goes through these, as does every player, but you know he's going to be fine at some point. I mean, you're going to take Rizzo in that situation more often than not.
Brewers no win question. Yet?
Brewers.
They win yet tonight?
They lost.
Oh, they lost? Okay, so they're not going to be undefeated this
month. No, they got thumped today.
You checking the standing?
Yeah, I'm already watching the standing.
Here's our Enkin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Whose first start gives you the most concern? Lester, Quintana, or Darvish? How would you vote, David?
Well, I would say most concern. There's more expectations for Yu Darvish. I think there's going to be scrutiny after every start. You're going to compare him to what Jake Arrieta does. You're going to evaluate that contract. So when he comes out and is as lackluster as he was on Saturday, even though afterward he said what he said and it wasn't that bad, I think that was the most disappointing. Now, John Lester wasn't sharp, and Jose Quintana started well but had the bad inning. But Yu Darvish is the one that you expected more and got not as much as you wanted.
I would say, though, the answer to this question is probably Lester. I think he'll be okay.
How are you, Lester?
Well, only because he's the oldest. And at some point, he's going to start going downhill a little bit. And I'm not saying that for sure is going to happen this year. But I would say out of those guys, look, Quintana's going to be fine. Darvish is going to be fine. And I think Lester's going to be fine.
Are you saying that? Are both of you saying that because the velocity was down for John Lester?
It's not really because of the velocity. I mean, Darvish's velocity was down a little bit too, and for that matter, so was Quintana's. That happens early in a season, purely the age. I mean, he's not going to be great forever. That's what my thinking
Cap,
is.
Cap, curious what you think. Look, these guys are such creatures of habit, these professional athletes, especially baseball players. Rituals, everything, rhythm, and, you know, down to the day, it's to a science. This season started March 29th. Do you think there's anything to the fact that they're still kind of in a week ahead of schedule and playing the games that mean something, that you're not seeing the sharpest pitching, the best hitting that you're seeing. Around the league, the hitting is down too. Is anything to that?
I don't think so, because I think they knew coming in, and everyone else has got the same schedule. You saw really good pitching out of Dylan Peters, and I watched that. Yesterday, I'll be honest with you, when I watched that guy warm up, I said to David DeJesus, oh, man, get me a jet to Vegas. They're going to crush this guy. And they never scored. I mean, Dylan Peters, he didn't even have good
you
stuff.
You don't already have a jet that you could just go on to Vegas? I don't buy that
for Cap.
I wish. Yeah. I wish. They hit him hard yesterday. I thought Joe made a funny comment after it. That's the most unbelievable shutout I've ever seen.
A typical Madden comment.
Right.
Where does this shutout rank on his most impressive shutouts?
Today, I thought this guy pitched his tail off. Where I didn't think Peters was very good yesterday, I thought this guy today, Mally, was excellent. Excellent.
You didn't expect it either. And they're making these young pitchers, the untested. This guy doesn't even have a locked up spot in the rotation, but he probably does after today.
You worried about Quintana, anybody?
Nah. I'm more worried about, as far as the poll question goes, about Darvish for the same reason that you guys are worried about Lester. Because I see Darvish as a guy who's going to get on track at some point this year and is going to be pretty good for the next couple seasons. But the end of that contract terrifies me, and I think that was another realization after his first start. Who knows how these guys are going to perform early, but the end of that deal as a fan really worries me.
Who has
I feel
more
like
pressure on him, Darvish because he got that contract, or Quintana because he gave up Eloy Jimenez and
Darvish
for him?
All day Darvish, because the contract comes expectations, and I think that there's inherent pressure when you're not Jake Arrieta and you're replacing the guy who's a legend, who's a fan favorite, and if you do stink, you're going to be the guy that is, why is he here? You know, and you're not going to say that about Quintana. I think everyone understands.
If Eloy Jimenez comes up this year and starts roping for the White Sox, he starts crushing the ball.
Right.
And Jose Quintana pitches like a Buick.
That's true.
Well, but you would
he's got to get healthy first, Cap.
He does.
Yeah, you would care more about that, I think, than Jose Quintana would care about that, at least based on what we know about him. Like, I've never signed a huge contract, especially not even close to the one Darvish signed. I got to imagine there's some pressure there. Anytime someone commits to you.
The deal at the game was pretty big.
Yeah, it's $112 million, not quite $126. Somehow they were able to get out of it very easily.
Wow.
But I would say if there's more pressure on someone, it's probably you, Darvish. What are you laughing at?
Oh, I love it. I love it. No, look, I mean, Darvish is the guy. I think, guys, the person that's going to have the most pressure on besides Quintana, if Quintana pitches poorly, is Theo, because he never gets criticized.
No, there's no pressure on Theo Epstein.
No. I'm saying if Eloy Jimenez comes up and dominates.
Doesn't matter, Nick. I mean, I think he's got – And we could criticize him, and we probably will criticize him,
Absolutely.
And it'll mean nothing. I mean, the guy.
I disagree with you, David. I think it'll mean something because he never gets criticized. Understandably so, because he helped deliver a World Series here. But if you give up a prospect who comes up and destroys pitching all over the place for a guy who's not pitching really well,
That's a mistake. It will go down as a error in judgment, but
it's going to hurt for a long time. If we're playing this out,
I don't think that there's any pressure attached to that move.
It won't hurt for that long if they sign Bryce Harper in the offseason.
Yeah, right.
Then you'll get over losing Eloy Jimenez pretty quickly.
There are ways around that. Yeah. I think Quintana is going to be fine. I mean, I think consistency was there. He didn't have a terrible spring. Yeah, he had a bad inning, and he started well. And with his first four innings, you thought, okay, wow, he's backing up. He said he wanted to have more wins this year. He wanted to be that guy this year. I still think he can be. It's a first start. And I think these pitchers are a little bit, they're ahead of schedule. They're maybe everything will settle in.
Yeah, if I'm voting there, I'm voting John Lester.
Yeah, by the way, I think they're all going to be fine.
Yeah.
I do too.
This is still one of the best rotations in baseball. I get it's been a very frustrating first week. There's been a lot of walks. But ultimately, these are five really solid starters.
And Chatwood and Hendricks went through their first spins very consistently. I mean, Chatwood's pretty good today.
Too many walks,
and you wonder about that, but he's still – Yeah, he's your fifth starter. And if he's your fifth starter and this is what you get, it's pretty good. You know, he didn't pitch like a fifth starter today.
All right. We'll get to the White Sox in a little bit. Let's get to the other huge story in town.
By the way, the White Sox.
2-0,
we'll get to
buddy.
The 2-0 team in a little bit.
2-0.
At the end of the show.
Just getting ready to take on the Toronto Blue Jays. But we will talk about the Loyola Ramblers, whose season came to an end on Saturday night. They blew a 10-point second-half lead and lose to Michigan, who will now play Villanova tonight for the title. Look, it was a joyride that they set this city up for a whole lot of fun for a month and came, a couple games short of a dream, but it was still pretty amazing. You were down there.
Yeah, I was, and it was, it was an exhilarating month. It was an exhausting month, and it was everything that you want out of a college sports experience in terms of covering, in terms of watching them play. I'm sure they got as much out of it as they could. They maxed out. And when you see a team that does things the right way, a program that is built on, integrity, which you don't see in college sports anymore. So much about college sports is corrupt and scandalous. And you see an example like Loyola. They've got a coach with all the energy. They've got players who are likable. And they even have the Sister Jean. So there's a lot to like about them. They just fell short.
I was listening to you guys this morning, you and Mike Mulligan, who was down there as a proud Loyola grad. Disappointed he didn't wear a scarf, but the question was asked, did the Loyola Ramblers choke having a 10-point
lead?
You
heard that exchange.
I did.
Yeah.
I do not believe that to be the case. I thought the better team won. I thought the best player on the floor was Mo Wagner. Loyola got beat. They made some mistakes. They turned it over. It happens. Choke? No shot. Did you think that?
No, I didn't. In fact, what I thought is they just completely ran out of gas. I mean, they looked like they had nothing left the last, 10 minutes of that game. I guess by definition in the sports universe, you would call that a choke, but it certainly didn't feel that way after everything they accomplished.
I don't think that a team that has overachieved to get to that point, the four games they won, really they weren't supposed to win any of them. They were the 11th seed. And when you look at where they were, they had a 10-point lead with 14 minutes to go. Absolutely, they were in command. But to say if Michigan would have been in that situation and lost, the better team, the bigger team, the more athletic team, that would have been maybe a choke. What Loyola did was things happen for a reason. And, when Michigan has all the size, Wagner was unstoppable, and the better team won.
No question. I don't think they choked. I think it was a fantastic story. But, guys, I think the city's just going to move on now. I don't buy
that. Spoken like a true NBA guy.
I don't buy that all of a sudden for years to come, people in Chicago are going to be like, oh, that Clayton Custer. Oh, man, in that Final Four in 2018, it was unbelievable. I mean, I think
why,
it's a
what,
gonna
what be a there. Cynical but it, NBA but it's a elitist.
Great, it's a great story now. It was a fantastic run. Sister Jean, Porter Moser, it's all great. Nobody's going to remember this stuff
Nick,
in a couple
Nick,
years.
Do you still hear people talking about the 1979 DePaul Blue Demons, the Mark Aguirre era?
You're telling me – wait, wait. Here and there, I listen to Chuck
here
sometimes.
And there. Yeah.
When you're walking around in the city in 3 or 4 years, you think that the people that have no connection to Loyola, that aren't an alum, are going to be like, oh, man, Loyola, wow, what a run. They knocked out Tennessee, and they knocked out Miami on that jumper, and Kansas State, oh, Bruce Weber, oh, they got Bruce Weber. Nobody remembers who was in the Final Four last year.
I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Chicago,
you're
wrong because, look, you remember when Butler made it, you remember VCU, you remember George Mason, you remember Cinderella. When Cinderella makes an impression, you remember it. Not the same as a typical team making a Final Four in any given year. This is a turning point for Loyola. This was a moment. This was something that Chicago was the best college sports story in Chicago since Northwestern went to the Rose Bowl. Do you remember that? It was 1996, Nick. They went to the Rose Bowl. Do people care about that still? Yes.
David, you and I are going to be sitting here in a few years, and I'm telling you, the people in
Chicago. You'll be at some game Tom Thibodeau's coaching in an airport getting off a plane.
They're not going to care about this. They're going to enjoy it for what it was in the moment, and if you went to Loyola, great for you.
Take off your NBA blinders.
No. Wait, can I ask a question? What does it matter in a few years what people think? I mean, it was fun. It was a fun month.
It was awesome.
Yeah, so if in 3 years people aren't talking about it, you know, obviously Loyola fans will be. It really doesn't matter. I mean, people will remember Loyola made the Final Four, but no one's going to be.
Here's what matters. If they capitalize on the opportunity that the program has.
Pay the coach and hang on to him.
Yes.
Do you guys think he's going to stay?
Recruits.
Yes.
You guys have been around
a
lot more.
I do think he's going to stay.
Well, can I tell you he'll be there in 5 years? No. Can I tell you he'll be there next year? I believe so.
I agree. I think that there's, number one, there's not as many jobs open right now as there would be
now,
if it was competitive market.
This FBI scandal could throw a real monkey wrench into it
but Cap,
if some big-name jobs
I agree with that. I agree with that. But still, look, do respect to Porter Moser, who I think did a tremendous job. They showed him a lot of loyalty when he didn't necessarily get off to the great start at Loyola. It's time, and I think he understands it. You know, it's okay to reward that loyalty by sticking around. He's going to get a hefty raise. They're talking about that internally. They have been for weeks. He's going to be rewarded for this. It's in his hometown. He wants to build something. He wants this to be Butler. He wants people to remember this in 3 years, 4 years. The Nick Friedels of the world. He wants those guys to know this mattered and this meant something.
Thank you, David. Well said.
No, wait
kid.
A minute.
Nice.
You guys are on the same
page.
That's terrifying right there. But do you guys think are going to show up to games now the next couple of years? You think that people within the city are going to be like, oh, man, that Loyola.
Listen, I
got to go see Porter Moser and
I can sit here and say yes, and you could be as cynical as if you would say no. We don't know yet. They have an opportunity to build on this. But me saying yes doesn't mean anything more than you saying they won't, because you could be just as wrong as I am.
You're right.
Because they have an opportunity to create enthusiasm, to build off this, and to get people in the seats. Because if you get the right talent, there are examples out there. Cap, you know, you're in this college basketball community. Why can't they be Butler?
They can be.
Cap, are you serious? You think this team's going to be Butler?
No, I didn't say they are. I said they can be.
Oh, Cap.
When Butler was in the Horizon League, they dominated. You're telling me Loyola can't dominate the Valley?
They can't get 10,000 people to show up for games all the time?
Nor can Butler.
But what do you mean? Butler's been a good program for years
to build it.
But they've been building it for years. You're telling me.
In the Horizon League, Nick. In the Horizon League, they went for the Horizon League.
You're telling me they can't dominate the Horizon.
That within the city.
Or the Valley.
This is what we're arguing. You guys are saying that this story was so strong that this is going to resonate within the city for years and years. And I'm telling you that I think it's a fantastic story and they deserve a ton of credit. I don't think it's going to resonate with people outside the alumni base of Loyola.
Like Butler built a program in Indianapolis. And I don't know why you think that Loyola can't draw from the talent base in this city as they did to build this team and continue to establish a program with talent in Chicago, in the Midwest, and complement that with transfers and whoever, and say, you know what, every year we're going to be at the top of the Valley, we're going to get in the NCAA tournament, we're going to get to the Sweet 16 and sustain the success. Because if they do that, it will resonate and it will be sustainable.
We can agree to disagree. And I'll see you in a year, and we'll
you
see
you won't
where
see me
at.
In a year. You'll be in an NBA arena somewhere watching it on the screen and saying bad things about college basketball because you can't stand to watch it.
I think college basketball is awful.
You want it. Yeah, see?
Awful.
That's
awful,
it right there.
The
you're
pageantry.
An NBA guy
but the pageantry is great,
it.
And that's what everybody's into in the moment. There's the Sister Jean t-shirt stores down the street from my
this
house.
This has nothing
that's
to do
great.
With Sister Jean.
Oh, my God, David, the whole thing is about Sister Jean. What do you think resonated nationally? Sister Jean. Nobody cared about the kids as much as the 98-year-old
Nick,
nun who was all over
I'm
the place.
You, everything we just talked about, everything we just talked about, would be true if there was one person at Sister Jean's press conference on Friday. None
How
of what I said.
How many people were there?
300 people, but it doesn't matter
at
because
least.
Nobody. I was there.
I know.
There? Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
So
he was
none
in
of
some
none of
empty
what
NBA arena.
None of what I said has anything to do with Sister Jean's popularity. It has to do.
David.
No, it does not.
I couldn't
There's not one kid who's going to commit to Loyola
more.
Because Sister Jean is there.
I
not
understand
one.
What you're saying, but you're saying
don't
that,
be a hater.
But you're saying that Sister Jean has nothing to do with why Loyola is this huge story that everybody fell in love
no,
with.
No, 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 no. I'm saying that Sister Jean doesn't have anything to do with their ability to sustain the success. That's the point.
Agreed.
That's the point.
That's all well and good, and we'll see in a year.
You don't want to acknowledge that they can have success because
Gentile
you don't like college basketball.
That's not true. I just don't think the city.
You're like
I don't
Syracuse.
Think it's as big of a deal as it was made out to be within the city by the media because I don't think that it's going to carry over for years and years.
People
that's
in
I'm
this
saying.
City were jacked
Do you think
up
right
about
now.
It?
They're Wait, Nick, they're no. jacked up about it right now, and it's a phenomenal story to borrow. One of my friend Cap's words, but this is not something that I believe is going to carry over for years for Loyola to have people showing up and being into the program on and on and on.
But I thought it was a phenomenal story, not because I thought it was going to resonate within the city for years. It was because it was an amazing month. It was a run that we haven't ever seen before. That's why it was a
Nick
great
hated
story.
Hoosiers, too.
I loved Hoosiers.
Hated Hoosiers.
I watched
it only happened once, though. It only happened. They only won one title. It only happened
we'll
once.
See.
It wasn't sustainable
Correct.
At Milan High School because, you know what, it didn't matter after that year. It
we'll
was
see.
It was lightning in a bottle.
You think the Bulls will be wearing the Loyola jerseys as throwbacks in 50 years?
Maybe the Cubs shouldn't have. I mean,
Wow. All right. We have got to take our first time out. Bulls players decided to tank the tank with a win over the Wizards, so management took matters into their own hands. Don Levine, done for the year, but will it matter at all? We got to get to White Sox talk because they're actually undefeated. 2-0. Talk about both when we come back.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world. Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Now is your chance to win an epic family vacation in Universal Orlando Resort, including airfare, accommodations, and admission to 3 theme parks. Plus, you can check out the new Fast and Furious Supercharged, Ben's a big fan, opening this spring. Enter now to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/Universal. All right, here's the biggest college basketball fan that we know. I wonder if this super fan thinks Loyola can build a dynasty. And I want to go to my phone. Because we just got a text, David and I, from my friend Jordan Cornett, who played at Notre Dame. His late brother was a star at Butler. He said, would
Notre
you
Dame
please
graduate.
Tell Nick they could absolutely be Butler. No one at Butler at that time ever thought they could get there. It is absolutely no different. Loyola can do this. Jordan Cornett.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan.
Okay,
I
and the
know.
Bears are going to win 9 games this year.
No,
they are.
No,
but let's just—I mean, let's just randomly throw stuff out there.
No, that's not random, though. It's
legit.
I understand.
What's legit,
I understand
though?
Why people who don't appreciate college sports are not getting caught up.
What
in
do you mean I don't appreciate college sports?
Well,
I have
you
a
were
passion,
student, whatever.
I, but I have a
whatever.
Passion for my alma mater. I don't think the game
think
itself
you sober
is good.
In that picture.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
You can't buy drinks there. You can't buy drinks.
We also just got shouted out on Twitter from our friend Danny Mack. Spirited Loyola debate with at David Haw, at Ben Finfer, and at Nick Friedel, and at the Catman's Yacker on Sports Talk Chi. I happen to side with Nick. Fun as it was for 3 weeks, ultimately, it will be a footnote.
Mac, Mr. College Basketball.
Do you guys
look, I love
product,
Mac too, but he is not what I would call a college basketball
Chief Mac round ball.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I have a legit question for two college basketball fans then. Do you think the product, as we sit here for the national championship in a couple hours, the product of college basketball is good right now?
What does it matter?
What do you mean, what does it matter? Who wants to see a bad product?
Well, you want me to watch the Jazz and the Blazers?
Yeah, I mean, it's a much better product of basketball.
I'd rather watch this tonight.
The question is always, to me, framed from like such an elitist point of view. Look, I will acknowledge the fact that when you see Loyola playing Michigan, they couldn't throw it in the ocean for the first half. 2 of 10, both teams started. It was ugly at times. And you know what? I really don't care because they're not there to aesthetically please you or to please me or to please the 70,000 people that are there. They're there to win. They're there for the experience. I don't care how pretty it is. I don't care about the quality. I care about what do they get out of the experience and who wins.
You ought to write a column because that's really,
Dave,
really
you
well
understand
said.
There are lots of other people who do care about the quality and who aren't
and
watching
I don't
college
really
basketball
care about
because
those
the quality
people,
is
Nick.
So poor.
I don't even know what we're debating anymore, but I love this. I could watch these two argue all day long. This is fantastic.
White noise.
All right, let's talk about something better in Nick's world than college hoops, Bulls, Wizards.
Now, that will stand the test of time.
That will be more than a footnote, Chief.
I only regret that I was traveling yesterday and I missed this great matchup between two NBA teams that play basketball the right way.
David, Jim Boylan,
18
coach.
Threes for the Bulls.
Wow.
18 threes.
Let's debate the tanking thing.
Okay,
again.
But to your point now, this is game like 76 in a lost season, and you're telling me that the biggest stage college basketball offers, you watch in the first half, two teams clank shots all over the place.
What's
Wait, your
point? Are you telling me?
What's your point?
That if I, hold on.
What do you mean, what's my point?
Do you have the nerve to tell me that if I gave you two tickets for Loyola against Michigan in the Final Four, or I gave you two courtside seats for that monstrosity on Madison Street yesterday, you'd rather watch that NBA game?
The NBA game. See, here's the difference, though. This is where the separation is between what David and I are saying. I enjoy the pageantry of college basketball. I enjoy seeing everybody get excited and being there in the moment. The Bulls-Wizards game yesterday was an embarrassment. It was embarrassment
awful
to the league. It was terrible. It's like watching a summer league game.
Another
but
one.
But the
Another
quality
embarrassment
of play, this is what I'm saying. Whoa. The quality of play, even in a game as terrible as that, was off the charts better.
Well, breaking news,
than,
NBA players
than
are better
the game
than
that everybody
players
watched on
because
Saturday.
Because they can shoot better? Because, but that's like, that's every year there's a college football team that people think they can beat an NFL team, and it's ridiculous.
It would never happen.
The worst NFL team is still going to be better than Alabama.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's why it's an absurd conversation because they aren't comparable. If you want to compare the quality of the experience, okay, fine. I will argue with you that the first half of the Loyola Michigan game was better than anything you can give me in the 76th Bulls game. That, you know, we're going to talk about. The only thing that matters is how bad they can be because they want to get a high draft pick, which is an incessantly boring conversation.
I agree, and they still won by like 17
right
yesterday.
Before we move on from the Bulls, Lavina Dunn shut down. There's only a handful of games left. This is not a big deal, right?
No, not. I mean, the Bulls want to lose, and it is not on players and coaches to lose. It's something we've all talked about throughout the year. Jim Boylan wants to win games. Bobby Portis wants to get paid. That's fine. That's on them. It is not on players and coaches to try to figure out ways to tank through it. But I would say this, Cap, on the Dunn and Levine conversation, if I'm the Bulls and I've watched Zach Levine play and I know he's coming off an ACL injury, I would be terrified about giving him
Thank
the next
you
contract.
I said
terrified
that on the radio the other day. That guy's getting $100-some million. Good luck.
Terrified.
What are your options?
Right.
What are your alternatives?
You can't.
I don't care.
You gave up
a superstar for Zach LaVine. You really
so you compound your mistake.
How many years is the deal?
Oh, I mean, he's restricted this summer.
So how many years are I'm saying? How many years are you going to sign him to?
That's the issue. If you're Zach LaVine and you saying, all right, I'm going to take a 1 year. I'm going to prove that I'm healthy and I'm going to go out and try to dominate more, and then come back a year from now and get even more money when there are going to be more teams also that can give me more money. I don't know.
You better
what
know
you
what
do
the hell you're doing if you sign him to 100-some million.
But I don't think they're going to do that. The only way they're going to get
deal
in deep trouble is if another team comes in and gives him a ton of money because they're trying to screw the Bulls. It's possible. I just don't believe with the lack of cap space around the league for a lot of teams that it's actually going to happen.
All right. We'll see how it goes because I'm going to the game tomorrow. I'm looking forward to just being in the presence of an NBA arena.
I know. Can I? Well, time so is it tomorrow night they play? I got to try to get there because I've not seen enough good basketball the last month. Five NCAA tournament games by a Loyola team that's forgettable was not good enough for me. I need to go see the Bulls lose
Nick
so they can get
Bulls,
a better draft pick.
He's their sister Jean. Nick, yes. We know. We got to get some bobblehead.
Yes.
All right. We got to quickly.
Get my scarf.
One note in hockey, the Sedin twins are both retiring at the same time.
You going to call them and thank them for giving you a couple laughs a few years ago?
Sedin sisters.
Yeah, I remember
that. Called them. Yeah, with Dave Boland. Yeah. That was pretty funny stuff. But anyway, they both will be Hall of Famers. Both, interesting. Gone.
I honestly thought they were out of the league like 7 years ago. You don't hear their names anymore.
They're retiring at the same time. Is that not unusual? They played together all those years. Does one want to say, did they have to make this decision together? They do everything together?
What are they going to do? They've been in the league how long? 18 years?
18 years.
Yeah. It's time to go.
All right. Let's take our last time out and then, Bob Babich, by the way, presenting Brian
shocker.
Urlacher.
That's a shocker.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Why isn't Levy Smith presenting Brian Urlacher?
He's recruiting.
Bob Babich and Urlacher.
There's no better recruiting pitch. There's no better recruiting pitch than being at the Hall of Fame with your guy.
It's his guy.
Yeah, Bob Babich was his coach for 9 years.
Was it that long?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't here that long.
Yeah.
Was he?
Linebacker and D
coordinator. Wow, okay. Well, he seemed like when he was a defensive coordinator, it seemed like he was here a lot longer than 9 years maybe.
Sure did.
Was not a good defensive coordinator. Just a little surprised by that. I thought it was going to be Lovie Smith.
All right. Take our last time out. We'll come back, talk White Sox 2-0. Got a quick start. They won 2 in Kansas City. They're off now playing in Toronto. We'll talk White Sox when we come back.
Can't get enough of your Bulls? Tune in every single game day to Bulls pregame and flip back after the action for postgame live all season long. All 82 games. Only on NBC Sports Chicago.
Matt Davidson off to a sizzling start. Hit 3 home runs against the Kansas City Royals. White Sox are 2-0 after getting snowed and colded out on Sunday. They're playing now in Toronto. Look, I don't know where this team will end up at the end of the season, but they certainly look like offensively they're going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Great start. I think they're exciting. I think they're going to be definitely – maybe flirt with 500 if they max out. I don't think they're going to be better than that, but that'd be a great season for the White Sox.
Yeah, they have a lot of young hitters who are at times are going to look great, but of course, they're going to go through their struggles too. So they're going to be fun, and you hope to see the continued development from these young guys.
I just like for my White Sox friends the optimism because I think they know that they're on the right path. They're going to go through some adjustments and some growing pains, but I think they've got enough talent and they're going to get more where it's fun to tune in every day to see how that progress looks.
What is Matt Davidson? What is he going to be?
It's a great question.
Is he really going to max out? Is he a 35 home run guy? Where does he fit in their future? Does he play third base? Is he a DH? Is he trade bait in July to bring in prospects because he could be that guy that draws something in return from a contender? I don't know. That's going to be the question as this kind of evolves. Who's going to be the people that they keep, the players that are
and
hot?
And luckily, they have the opportunity to find out. You can keep throwing him out there even if he's struggling because you're not trying to win this year.
Who, in terms of the prospects, will be the first guy up?
I think Kopech. If you're talking about the big prospects, especially with Jimenez's injury, he's probably going to be delayed maybe till later this year. But Kopech seems like he's the closest to being called up at some point this year. Maybe Jimenez, if he can get healthy, June, July. But that's probably being
optimistic.
He's
had a couple little setbacks now, health-wise. You know?
Creaky knee. Yeah. Not the oblique.
That's not
which
good.
Be very, very, injury. Very careful with him.
You want to be careful. You don't want to, and you don't know what that does to his development.
But if they go out and have a better than expected year, what are they, 67, and then it moved up to 70 wins in Vegas. If they were to find a way to win 80, 81, 82, and they get active in free agency next winter, and all of a sudden, whoa.
Why not?
They signed Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, whoever that
They're
is.
A contender.
You're an instant contender.
You're a contender.
They've got pitching.
Young pitching will accelerate the process real quickly.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.